right to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show them a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, I'm back, Sox and Giants. I'm Tom Al. She's Stephanie Conant, and she's here every Monday. Frank Fahey is on, as he is every Monday, and the rest of the week when we need him or market event happens. Mr. Matt Weber here as well, managed to survive another weekend. And, you know, these young people surviving weekends is always good, especially now that you have your buddy. He came in yesterday. He was ready to eat the, I'm starting in the middle of this argument as usual. Anyway, S&P Futures up 6, Dow Futures up 44, NASDAQ Futures up 20. The new alderman. Well, he wants to be a new alderman, man. He was in the hallway when Jill came in with Venkman, or she told you.
She did, I heard.
Seemed like a nice enough guy. He wasn't real happy. Get a load of this, Frank, when he said he went to Harvard, and I said, I knew the Unabomber.
He lived in Villa Park.
No, he didn't. He lived in Evergreen Park.
Maybe his parents were living in Villa Park when this went on, but suburban.
Yeah, well, he was the smartest guy to ever go to Evergreen Park High School. Didn't even have advanced math in those. Well, I don't know. They didn't even do now. And they took him out of there at 16. He was so brilliant.
I'm just, like, laughing that he was offended that, you know, he's a Harvard alum.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He didn't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. No. Anyway, but he was, how many people run for alderman? Maybe, like, 5?
It's a good number, yeah.
And they're all, like, decent. Do you see the other guy, Jordan something? Something he came by a while ago. He's a nice guy, too. All these young people, we certainly have shook the tree. I mean, it's probably good. They all, you know, a lot of these young people are all into this.
What ward are you talking about? Which one?
He's 43, buddy.
Oh, that's what I thought. I'm in 43 too.
Yeah, Michelle Smith.
Yeah, Michelle Smith.
And she's got all kinds of, now I get an email from her like every other day, so she's feeling the heat. I bet it goes to a runoff. I don't think she gets 50%.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one thing that makes
which
me...
Which ward is this?
43.
Okay.
One thing...
My old ward.
One thing that annoys me about... Our ward splits halfway down my street. So you go three quarters of the way down my street, and it's plowed curb to curb, and then it stops, and then it's Michelle's ward, and it's never really plowed.
Yeah.
So it just kind of annoys me.
Well, the one kid who came to the door, he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s. He came to the door first, and I said, "What are you doing this for?" Basically,
right?
And he said, "Well, there's an abandoned house next to my place, and like half the roof fell off and fell in my yard. It was like 2 months ago. I still can't do anything about it."
Hmm.
That's weird. I never heard of anything like that. But
why can't you do anything about it?
They won't come over and clean it, or they won't come over and make the guy fix the place or whatever. Must be some connected dude. Imagine that.
Yeah, right.
But I just, you know, we're going to play something this morning from OCO. It was pretty interesting.
AOC.
AOC. I always forget that.
Her name's Alexandria, for God's sake.
Right.
That should at least give you the first initial.
At least give me the first one. And the last name's Cortez, so all I got to do is guess on the middle one, right? Obviously.
Cortez.
Yeah. Cortez. Whatever. What's the difference? Anyway, she's
only your name.
Yeah, you've only gotten all three wrong.
I told you I was never good on names, for God's sake. Everybody knows that.
How about letters?
I'm not so good on letters either. I can't write. Anyway.
Good thing is he's good with numbers.
Yeah, good with numbers.
Why is everybody so focused on this woman?
I mean,
she's attractive and young, but I really don't get it.
I think you answered your question.
Well, she blurted out the part about the rich people paying more, but now she's all over it. But this here I was kind of giving her a little heat, but I wasn't giving her heat because I don't like her. I actually do like her, but my from what I've sort of learned, and you guys, once you put yourself out there, and let's put it this way, we have a contributor to the show who did not take my advice in this area once and lived to sort of regret it, I think. Anyway, but that's for neither here nor there. But my, what I'm saying is, when you start putting yourself out there as the number one person in your class, or at least the most outspoken, I think it really behooves you to make sure that you're on time for every committee assignment. You always do your part in a committee. You have your staff ready. That you now have to be on your best behavior every single day, because everybody is looking for you to do something wrong. You don't want to end up like somebody who I actually really liked and met her a couple times, and I thought she was spectacular and lit up a room. Beautiful lady, as Carol Moseley Brown. And she could have gone a lot of places. Then she ended up with the ne'er-do-well boyfriend that went to Africa on the government's dime, and they couldn't wait to find something bad about her, and there it showed up. If you're going to put yourself out there, you're going to be the first at anything where everybody's kind of looking at you. You have to be perfect. And yes. I hope this lady understands that it's not just getting your face out there. But anyway, she did I don't know what committee she was talking in front of, man. I just sent you that link. But there's three people that are like, I'm going to say work for the Justice Department, Frank and Steph. And so she's quizzing them on what Congress people can do and what presidents can do. It was like listening to the show. There are no rules for these people. If you think that there are laws that are governing the morals, look again. And I know.
You sent me the link. I don't have it.
I thought I did.
That's all right. I'll track it down.
It was on one of the newspapers in Washington. But because I liked it because it was a 3-minute version.
I'm sure it was the Washington Times or Examiner.
Might have been Examiner. But I know, Frank, I've read this a million times. I understand the part about the SEC has been involved in their own half-ass way about insider trading, and they've put a lot of people in jail. And that they've got this the idea that they can go after you if they want to. But I'm going to say, unless somebody can prove me different, There has never been and isn't now a law governing insider trading that Congress has ever weighed in on and has defined.
Not for Congress. For everyone else there is, but not for
Congress. No, I'm saying there is no law.
No, there is. No, you're right. In fact, there's a law that allows them.
Right, right. That allows
them
to.
They can front run everything.
And a president is even worse. You can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Well, in terms of stock trading, yes.
Yes. Well, but it's more than that. Well, if we can find a thing, it has to do with if you take all your money is from five, one of our questions, and I'm paraphrasing. If all your money is from four or five packs for like tobacco and something else, you can essentially work on all the tobacco legislation, and that's okay. The answer is yes. You don't have to accuse yourself of anything.
Well, let's be just even clearer. They come into you and say, we've got this new product and it's testing really high, and or a new drug, and it's going to come out and it's going to pass our tests, right? You can trade on that information ahead of everyone else having that knowledge. So, I mean, it's even more blatant than that.
But you can't tell your kid.
In theory, correct.
Because there was just that case from last year.
Correct. Or you can't tell somebody who's not Caucasian out of the country, we'll go get them. So we got the guy from the guy in the Goldman board who was he Indian or what was he? The Philippines or something? They got him.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Well, they got him, plus they got the senator, I forgot what his name was. He'd been there for 101 years, roughly. Been there forever.
Well, I do remember that case. I can't remember the guy's name. We'll think of it. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. But my question is, I didn't want to take up this kid's time. How much, I remember when, and this has nothing to, in a comparison with these guys are doing, it's a pimple on the ass of an elephant, but myself and another guy ran for the board of the CBOE from the outside. First time anybody ever won, we both won on a landslide, and in we go. In the first meeting, I'll never forget, all they started talking about was how important it was that anything was said in that room was stayed in that room, and blah, 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 and how they did a great job, and this and that and the other thing, so. Leave the meeting. The other guy's name was Merrill. I said, Merrill, is that for our benefit? And he goes, I think so. Well, then, of course, everybody comes over after they give you this big speech. But you know it's directed towards you. The compromising starts immediately you walk in there. We got to make these guys like us. You know, we talk about things. We never talk about what salaries people are making and all those kinds of things. And I said, you know, that's why people put me here, because nobody knows any of this stuff. That's the collegiality of it is why people are pissed off. So you're telling me that now I should be part of the college group? I mean, it's, anyway. But how quickly do these people get co-opted? If you all of a sudden become an alderman that stays a good guy or a lady, not to say any of, you know, that a lot of them aren't. I'm gonna guess, Stefan, you probably would know your significant other would certainly know better. I'm gonna guess that over 50% of all the their bills, what do you call them in the city council? They're not bills or something.
Oh, you mean the initiatives that they're putting?
Yeah, is it ordinance? I'm gonna say that over 50% of all the ordinances are all the aldermen voting for tax variances, zoning variances for all the other aldermen's wards. So if you have a law firm, you know, Steph and Associates, and you're an alder person, and you start, well, yeah, you can get this zoning variance. I really think you should use my law firm. And you do, and you take it to the zoning committee, or your flunky does, and all of a sudden it comes out of that committee. I'm going to say that over 50% of all the ordinances are every voting that variance for your ward, and you turn around and vote it for somebody else's ward. I don't wonder what would happen if the first day you just said, I'm not doing any of this crap, and you just started voting against everybody else's voting zoning variance. All of a sudden, nobody will want to come to your ward, right? Because the zoning laws are so screwed up. I mean, how long can you take that? I don't think you can take it very long. Do you?
I think you'd get voted out next round because they make it impossible for you to stay.
Well, I mean, not even the voting part. I'm just saying, you must be like a pariah. I mean, every zoning vote is 49-1. And, oh, by the way, the day you want one, you don't get it.
Well, day you want anything, you don't get it.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, the ability to co-opt people, I just wonder, I mean, I love the sentiment, the energy these young people seem to have virtually in representing it. To me, that's, but I question if they know how deep the hole is they got themselves into.
I don't think you ever know what kind of hole you get yourself into until you're there.
Well, I don't know.
The biggest, you put your finger on the biggest problem with our legislative group in Chicago. That's an alderman prerogative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, why we need to have aldermen on top of everything? I mean, we've got more layers of government in Chicago than I believe any other major city in the country. And we could reduce...
We have more aldermen, for sure.
Well, there's that, but... Because we don't have aldermen. I don't think there's aldermen. I mean, they got rid of aldermen in New York a long time ago.
Well, they have the borough president, so.
Correct. But that's...
How big is that borough organization? It's got to be huge.
Yeah, but I think they have less power.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, we have layers and layers of government here, and the aldermen basically kind of control the city.
Well, they certainly control their ward.
That and streets and sand.
Yep.
Correct.
Let me ask you a very simple question, and we'll walk toward the market a little bit because Frank's with us. There have been people, Bill Daley is one of them, that said in a perfect world he would have way less aldermen. What did he say, 25 or 15 or something? And there's been a couple of guys running for mayor, a couple of ladies running for mayor that have essentially said the same thing. So there I was driving around last week, minding my own business, and this full-minute commercial comes on about how important it was to keep the 50 aldermen because how much they do for you, because if there's only 25, you're only going to be half as represented, you'll never get to see your guy, and if you call him up, he won't have a chance to talk to you, where now they do, and they do all this work. My question is, who the hell paid for that?
The aldermen.
Well, do they pay for it out of like, our money? Out of their own money. I'm thinking it's out of our money.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but it's not like they don't make enough money here, there, and otherwhere to.
Well, they actually, what are they up to? They're up to, I'm going to guess, Manny, why don't you Google City of Chicago Alderman's salary? I'm going to say they're up to about $1.25, but they get $1.5 million of expenses for office, a few people, for a limousine driver, or wherever they feel like using it. So,
you're probably right, but back to the question. Will 25 really change the culture in Chicago versus 50? I don't know that it will. I agree that you probably won't have access to them quite the same, and that's a lot more people to manage. But I think until you change what the aldermen are in charge of and their power. It doesn't make a difference whether you got 50, 200, or 12.
By the way, they make between 105 and 120.
Yeah. Sounds pretty close.
Yeah.
What about making it a full-time job? You know, they get a pension. You wouldn't think you get a pension from a part-time job.
Well, it's not really a part-time job.
It's defined as a part-time job.
I know, but so is Congress.
Not the same. No. Not the same at all, actually.
Now, Congress is technically determined as a part-time job. That's what the intention was.
It's very, once in a while I get to wiggle in and Trump stuff, which is very bad because she doesn't like that word, first of all. But
I don't like the individual.
When I say part-time job, it is legal for
alderman.
No, for an alderman to be the only full-time jobs I'm going to say in the state of Illinois are the lieutenant governor, the governor, and the mayor of Chicago. All the rest of the people can have full other jobs.
Judges can't.
Okay, judges can't. You got me there. I don't know why I'm talking about elected. Well, I guess they are elected in Illinois, so you got me there. All right, but I'm going to say everybody else. Berrios was the head of tax appeals. He was his real job was a lobbyist. I went to one of the, we were in Burr Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
No, we were in Hinsdale. One of those fancy little restaurants in Hinsdale, not on the right in the French place. You know, if you had to ask, you didn't belong there. How much it cost was for I won't say who it was, a big time Republican dude. So we go and with my buddy Greg, he needed a wingman. So talk about. There was one guy who was somewhat Hispanic, and he was a half Hispanic, half Italian, and he was trying to get something for his pizza. He was building a big pizza factory somewhere. Nice guy. I ended up talking to him, and he's a nice guy. Everybody else was this very white suit crowd, amazingly, and with a smattering of, I'm going to say, 15 very well dressed, very attractive ladies that were lobbyists for the big firms, and that was the governmental room. And so the guy I'm talking to, the senator, and he was one of the top two or three guys on the Republican side of the aisle, and he gives me a business card. Of course, the business card is from his law firm, not from his legislative spot. So all those things are all part-time jobs. There's no way that
one of the big problems then, because if you can make, you know, 1.2 or 1.5, whatever, you know, and that's a part-time job, you've got other, it's a conflict of interest.
I mean, you're not going to see a U.S. representative handing out a law. He's not going to be part of a law firm, and he's not going to be.
No, he won't because of the conflict of interest on that.
Yes.
But he technically, the role of congressional leader was only supposed to be a part-time job.
Part-time career.
No, it was only supposed to be a part-time job. They were only supposed to, that's why Congress isn't in session all year long. Congress is in session all year long, it'll be a full-time job, but they were supposed to, most of them originally were farmers and stuff, so
that
they,
part, okay,
they
I get
all
it.
Had their other careers, and they'd come in for only times of the year in order to do legislation. It was only supposed to be a part-time job.
All right, I'll run with that. But it's the definition is people in other states look at Illinois and they go, "You guys are nuts."
We are nuts.
I'll bet you the.
I agree. I didn't grow up here. I'll tell you clearly from outside perspective, we're totally nuts. We've got more layers of government. There's more corruption that's like people just accept, which is absolutely hilarious. I mean, from an outsider's perspective, it's absolutely hilarious. And then the fact that you allow your public officials to have conflicts of interest in terms of blatantly conflicts of interest, and everything goes through the city and you got to pay certain people to get certain things done in the city, it just cracks me up. Yes, it does
happen.
Well,
you don't always have to pay.
No.
Sometimes you can just know the guy.
That's true. But, you know, in other cities, and, you know, I've been around quite a few of them, it's just not as blatant, you know? Of course some of it happens, but it's just not as blatant.
Do you ever watch any of those? I'm stuck with, I could go into the whole routine about having a significant other and some of the stuff that they will do. Anyway, because we went to the first look for charity Friday night, and it was a riot. It was fun, and we picked up Steph, and your friend was very interesting, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hang together most of the night, home together, or a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. She's a lot of fun. She's a pediatrician.
Oh, she's a riot.
Yeah, and Northwestern. She handles all those cases of kids. You know, and if you've got a kid who's got something that no one else can figure out, that's what she gets.
I'm going to say that if you talked to her for an hour, you would never guess that's what she did.
No, she's absolutely brilliant, but and incredibly smart once you get her to those kinds of topics. But that's not directly what comes across.
I used to have a lady that worked for me on the trading floor. She was a broker. Really nice lady, beautiful lady on top of it. Not that that makes any difference, but she would, as good as it gets, stuff, she would, and back in the day when you had to add fractions and everything where you're talking about, you know, one in 15 teenies, you know, plus mm-hmm. one in 3/8, you immediately had to do the math, which, you know, people, it was amazing, you know, how do you, and, she'd walk off the floor and the day was done and she'd say, "Chief, you gotta help me with my checkbook. I can't get it balanced." I go, "Really, there's no fractions in your checkbook. You've just been adding and multiplying all day. I don't know what it is about this checkbook. I just can't do it." I'm going, "My God." Anyway, but it was worth it, though, because she was terrific. And but anyway,
Everything, maybe she just wanted your attention.
I was always too dumb to think that, you know. See how they are, Frank. They're vicious toward each other.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just am saying, you know, to your compliment. I mean, maybe
I hope
she
not. She was married, for God's sake.
Okay, well, there you go.
That makes a difference.
Well, it's a road I don't want to go down. Let's put it that way. You guys are knocking me all off topic. Anyway, Frank, what about this market?
What about it?
Yeah.
Earnings are ending this week, basically. We have Cisco, yeah. We have the CME, Coke and Pepsi, and Deere are the big ones. So that's, I think, holding up the market some. I don't know how many times we're going to rally on China being solved.
Well,
that deal.
I think we got at least another couple before.
Well, we rallied pretty hard, what was it, Thursday night? When then we rallied somewhat a little bit on Friday, but...
We did last night.
Yeah.
About 2/3%.
Well, let's see. All I have to do is wing that one out there. Well, we were down, what, 300 and some points on Friday and finished down 63. When all of a sudden first Trump and Xi were not going to meet, what, before March 1st, and that's the deadline. Then, they're going to meet like right afterward, and then we shoot right back up again. How many times can people...
And then we were talking on the shutdown on Friday, too. They were negotiating. That was a lot of push there, too.
Looks like they hit a snag over the weekend, and so...
I can't believe they're going to shut down again. Are you guys... Do you think they're even possible for them to do that?
Anything is possible, but I think it's suicide. I think it's suicide.
What, anyway, you kind of... I know I'm spinning like a top here, but... Back to my original thing, do you think these young people know how bad the numbers really are that are running for? I mean, I don't know any other solution than to get younger people that are into it, into the game, and maybe they will change some of the weirdo stuff that people have been doing. And it does strike me, and I've mentioned a bunch of times, that I think some of these old guys in Congress, and most of them are guys, there's Nancy Pelosi and a couple other older women, but there aren't very many. Most of them are these old guys. Do you think they realize that everything they do now is pretty much out in front on TV? I mean, some of the utterances they make are so bizarre. Do they really think that people don't know they're lying? I mean, 30 years ago, you could do that on a whistle stop somewhere, and it wouldn't even hit the paper, much less everybody's cell phone, for God's sake.
Well, everybody has a protected base now, so it doesn't matter if you lie. You aren't going to change your base's opinion.
Well...
We've shifted to a religious belief in politics as opposed to a logical belief.
But
the only people that really change their opinion and can move elections right now appear to be college-educated white women.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, Frank is pandering. Is your wife in the room? He's pandering.
No. I'm always pandering.
Those are the statistics, but...
I think he's right. Yeah, you just wonder if guys are, but you know, how do you, you guys don't know my theme of last week. It started on Monday. And instead, when somebody says something that I don't agree with, instead of immediately not agreeing with it, I'm trying to find the truth in which they set it in the first place. And you know what? I've taken this new routine, and it's pretty enlightening. I mean, because if you say to people, even people close to me, that, you know, Trump, all he does is, I mean, the guy has a problem with the truth, as my grandmother used to say, he lies like a rug. And they'll say, every other politician I've ever known lied to me. He's just a little worse. What's the difference? And there's something to be said for that, gang. I mean,
there's something to be said that's what people believe. I think if you look at the statistics, I think that it's not just a little different, it's very different, but I get their point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously George Bush, was there any piece of truth at all about the Iraq invasion? How many people we lost there? How many legs we lost? I mean, Obama, I don't know if he ever said anything was truthful.
Well, why do you say it that
they
way?
They tended not to demonize groups of people.
Right.
I didn't hear the dog whistle other than perhaps for patriotism.
No, I'm absolutely with you on that, Frank. What I'm talking about is specifically, I mean, I'll rattle off like four or five whoppers in the Trump says the day before in a room where people, you know, are Trump people, and they'll say, well, yeah, but everybody's over lied to me. I can't. Anyway, we have to head off to break. S&P futures. Where are S&P futures? We're still up 5. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomashi, Stephanie Coney, he's Frank Faye, Matt Weber on the board, full house this morning. S&P futures up 775, Dow futures up 65, and the futures up 38. Despite Larry Kudlow coming out last week and saying, going nowhere with these Chinese talks now. Talks are set to resume later in the week. This is wild. How many times we've up and down the market on this stuff. DAX up 94.9%. FTSE up 41.6%. Gakaran up 42.8%. We're now careful with this because the Chinese stocks were closed for the week. Nikkei up, down 418. That's a full 2%. Shanghai up 35. Again, this is a several day number. It's 1.4%. Hang Seng up 197. They were not closed all week, so that's a real number for those guys. Kind of confusing how they would stay closed the whole week. Here, you can't close more than 3 days. The oil down 47 cents, 52.25. Brent down 19 cents. Natural gas up 11, 269, which is very low. RBOB gas is 144. Home heating oil, 191. Gold getting trounced today a little bit. Down $8. Silver down 9 cents. Maybe we got for us traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area right now. It's on the outbound I-55 just before Lamont Road. The crash is out Route 83 on the outbound side. So that crash has been cleared or almost cleared. Crews are still on the scene, so there's a little bit of delays navigating around that. Lakeshore Drive out to the Tri-State is 41 minutes and building to I-355 is 58 minutes already. So outbound I-55, Stevenson not looking great. Everything else looking okay, though. Dan Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, Eisenhower, traffic's building, but no accidents or issues to report. Kennedy and Edens look okay. Suburban tollways are quiet, too. We do have a winter weather advisory going into effect this evening, beginning around 6 p.m. Local time and then lasting overnight, and expecting some freezing rain and some snow accumulation mixed, and it could affect the evening commute, so keep that in mind. Otherwise, we'll go up to a overcast high of 34 before the snow and freezing rain mix begins later on tonight. Right now, it's cloudy and 29 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 60. Right now, it's mostly clear and 47. In sports, Blackhawks keep rolling, Chief. They've won 7 in a row as they trounced the Red Wings yesterday afternoon, 5-2. Patrick Kane upped his points streak to 14 consecutive games, longest active streak in the NHL. Blackhawks keep rolling. They still only have about a 10% likelihood of making the playoffs, according to the stats. But if they win every game. They have 26 odd games left, and if they keep playing well, they'll sneak in. And in hockey, all you got to do is get in. Anyone can beat anyone.
And who are the two guys on the other line that had like two or three goals? They're passing back and forth like Taze and Kane. Shire, but two guys I never heard of.
I'd have to pull up the box score. I missed the game, but a good win for the Hawks. Coyotes were off. Bulls were off. Suns lost to the Kings 117-104. Big day in college hoops. Loyola with a big win over Valpo in the Missouri Valley, 56-51, as they look to win the regular season title there. Notre Dame topped Georgia Tech by 10, 69-59. And Northwestern led by 15 with 4.5 minutes to go at number 20 Iowa, and then blew the game and lost on a last-second three-pointer, 80-79.
So your significant other must have been happy.
Yes.
Being the Iowa girl, she has a thing on her Jeep to prove it.
Yep, she is an alum.
The
like 90% of their student enrollment is Chicago area people.
Really?
And we've had.
I don't think it's actually 90%. It's like at least 50 though. It's a huge number.
We probably had 5 or 6 of those young ladies on our softball team, and one has been nicer and more and brighter than the next. I mean, what a great group that goes out there. I mean, really, man. I mean,
it's a lot of the Western Suburbs girls, a lot of Naperville girls,
really,
and guys. It's really hard to get into Champaign. It's really expensive to go to, and hard to get into like the Northwestern, the University of Chicago, and it's only about a 3-hour shot down 80 to get to Iowa City, and it's real close.
More,
and convenient.
I think more girls are comfortable going there than Indiana.
And it's, if you're in the Western suburbs, it's closer to go there.
Yep. I should be writing two lifelong books. One would be No Good Deed Goes Unpunished. That's another one. But what was the cartoon where the guy he was always unclear on the concept? Was like the tagline, like
you
4 days a week.
Dilbert.
Yeah, but it was might have been Dilbert, but every once in a while on the bottom it was some guy would be doing something and say unclear on the concept. Well, this week they had some lady. Everybody's getting their DNA tested, right? And there's various levels of how you do this. But I mean, I haven't done mine. But our buddy, one of our buddies from the Fed, Frank, this is beautiful. He gets his tested by the National Geographic group, and they don't tell you whether you're Polish or whether you're this or whether you're that. They tell you what group you are out of Africa. Like if you're the first group that went to Northern Europe versus the who the hell knows. There's this big chart they give you, and he finds out that the average person is 1.5% Neanderthal genes, and he's 2.
Oh, it averages. It's actually wider than that.
Really,
you can average between 0, yeah, and 3%.
What if you're 3 or 4? What do you look like?
Me, because I am that.
Really?
Yeah, we're very high Neanderthals.
So what does that mean exactly?
You look like a Simpsons character or something?
No, I don't know. You guys tell me.
You don't have your eyes set 4 feet in your head? Like
no, the Neanderthals is very Northern European. The more Northern European, you tend to have more Neanderthal in you.
Those are the Neanderthal girls were warm in the winter up there or what?
I don't know, but we get our immune system from the Neanderthal, so it's not
better?
All bad.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Well, anyway, she'd take. But
I found out I'm a third Jewish.
Oh, there you go.
That does not surprise me. You and Greg. Greg's same thing happened to him. Anyway, but so anyway, this lady takes one. There's other ones now you can take. They must cost a lot of money. Where they keep track of other people, and they start letting you know when like a half brother appears, which doesn't happen with the National Geographic one. But this is DE3. It's not the. The Mormon guys either. It's somebody of some other group.
Well, the Mormons let you know, and then there's 23andMe. Ancestry.com is the Mormon.
23andMe is what she does. But she does this thing. She knows that she is the product of her mother essentially going to the sperm bank and doing the turkey baster thing. And or whatever you want it. Whatever the artificial...
We've got through that terminology. Okay, keep going.
So, anyway, now she's stunned to find out, and what I understand, when this first started, because I knew some people that were essentially doing, most of the guys doing it were residents in hospitals, where they were right there, and they're getting paid, you know, whatever, I was going to say something a shot, but something a shot. And, so she's stunned now to find out that she has 15 half brothers and sisters.
Well, of course, it was out of a sperm bank. Do you think he just gave one sample with one thing? I mean, really.
But now they've put together a whole Facebook page where they're all keeping together. I'm not so sure I would feel all that much akin and that kind of a thing, but I'm glad they're doing it. Just It's kind of odd. But that's my lead-in story to talk about a wild lead-in. What is with Americans? I mean, not that I'm not dumb like the rest of them, rest of us. Why are people thinking they're outraged now at the size of their tax refunds? This is percolating countrywide. When this guy put this through, the average person was going to maybe come up $75 to the good. And if you paid any sort of high-end property taxes or anything like that, or high-end state sales tax or income tax, you were going to get skunked. And so evidently, when they put the withholding together, they withheld way more than $75 less for people. So they withheld, you know, $400 less. So when they went to get the return, everybody's pissed off. What part of $75 at the high end don't you get when you're cheering this guy?
I'm to the point where I say hallelujah, finally it's come to everyone figuring out that this is not good for them. You know? I mean, even if you get $75 back, which I don't think majority of people get $75
back.
No,
I don't think so either.
This is, you know, finally people are realizing this is not good for them, where for some reason everyone thought, oh, this is going to hit me. I'm part of the 1%, you know. And my husband and I have this discussion. I think we've had this discussion 20 times where he says, well, we're part of the 1%. And I say, no, we're not. And then you look up the numbers and we're not, you know. What he thinks constantly that we are, and it just cracks me up.
You're part of Chicago 1%.
I don't know. If you look at the statistics, even for Chicago numbers, we're not part of the Chicago 1%. We don't.
Globally, you are.
Globally, we probably are. But no, actually, if you look at the numbers, we're not. We don't meet the numbers.
Do you have a closet Rolls Royce that I don't know about?
Yeah, we don't meet the numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know.
When you're driving a Ford Focus?
He drives a Ford Explorer. I drive a Honda CR-V that's from 2008. You know?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, why don't you throw that AOC in? It sounds like listening to Stocks and Jacks.
Let's play a game. Let's play a lightning round game. I'm going to be the bad guy, which I'm sure half the room would agree with anyway. And I want to get away with as much bad things as possible, ideally to enrich myself and advance my interest, even if that means putting my interests ahead of the American people. So, if I want to run a campaign that is entirely funded by corporate political action committees, is there anything that legally prevents me from doing that?
No.
So let's say I'm a really, really bad guy, and let's say I have some skeletons in my closet that I need to cover up so that I can get elected. Mr. Smith, is it true that you wrote this article, this opinion piece for the Washington Post entitled, "These Payments to Women Were Unseemly, That Doesn't Mean They Were Illegal"?
Well, I can't see the piece, but I wrote a piece under that headline in the Post, so I assume that's right.
Okay, great. So, green light for hush money. I can do all sorts of terrible things. It's totally legal right now for me to pay people off. So, I use my special interest dark money funded campaign to pay off folks that I need to pay off and get elected. So, now I'm elected, now I'm in. I've got the power to draft, lobby, and shape the laws that govern the United States of America. Are there any limits on the laws that I can write or influence?
There's no limit.
So there's none. So I can be totally funded by oil and gas. I can be totally funded by Big Pharma. Come in, write Big Pharma laws, and there's no limits to that whatsoever.
That's right.
The last thing I want to do is get rich with as little work possible. That's really what I'm trying to do as the bad guy, right? So is there anything preventing me from holding stocks, say, in an oil or gas company, and then writing laws to deregulate that industry and cause, you know, that could potentially cause the stock value to soar and accrue a lot of money in that time?
You could do that.
So I could do that. I could do that now with the way our current laws are set up. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is it possible that any elements of this story apply to our current government and our current public servants right now?
Yes.
Yes.
So we have a system that is fundamentally broken. we have these influences existing in this body, which means that these influences are here in this committee shaping the questions that are being asked of you all right now. Would you say that that's correct, Mr. Yes. Marabani, or Mr. Schaub?
Yes. In terms of laws that apply to the president,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's just almost no laws at all that apply to the president.
So I'm being held, and every person in this body is being held to a higher ethical standard than the president of the United States.
That's right, because there are some committee ethics committee rules that apply to you.
And it's already super legal, as we've seen, for me to be a pretty bad guy. So right. It's even easier for the president of the United States to be one, I would assume.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
S&P futures now up 10. Dow futures up 84. That's special. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hold up, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Stephanie Cunningham, Frank Fahey. Matt Weber, S&P futures now up 950. As we're meeting again with the Chinese by the end of the week, and we're good to go on that. Even though the other one, the Congress appears to be in an impasse on the wall. They got to. That's.
Where do we think we're going to end up? I mean, we keep. You know, I feel like we keep bobbing along. Right? And so we're bobbing along waiting for either the shoe to drop or for something to lift us up. And we keep going through these kind of micro rallies based on little pieces of glimpses of hope. You know, Frick, where do you think we're kind of moving towards?
I'll give my shot. And Frank, I think the issue is once you, I hope this is where the issue is, that it's not the $5 billion number. I don't believe. Because, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of rounding on the bottom line for the Fed. We piss away. We spent $11 billion on an aircraft carrier. It doesn't work, pretty much. Well, I mean, it will work, I hope. But I think the idea is, if everybody knows that if you actually did put a real wall for how many thousand miles, that your $5 billion is barely a deposit. you know, I think is one of the problems with it. I also think that the idea that we can put a wall in this 40-mile area and not assume that people are going to go right around wherever that is pretty foolish as well. So the whole concept is just sort of ill thought out. I mean, I would hope the other side is amenable to, you know, why are these people coming out of El Salvador? Should we be not sending the money down there? All we're doing is enriching the dictator, or what are we doing? It's time for a full discussion without, you know, leaving your Republican or Democratic shoes at the door of just what are we doing? I mean, in these areas, we're sending money down. All we seem to be doing is making the drug people and the politicians richer. I don't know how much progress there's been in the regular rank and file, for lack of a better term, in Mexico and these areas. It doesn't seem like there's that much. You know, it's all part of NAFTA. It's all one, the same big question. Somehow or another, the flashpoint is this wall, it appears to me. So even if you decide, you know, okay, we'll give the guy $3 billion or $4 billion, let him start his wall or whatever, I don't know where that gets you. I mean, in my mind. Frank, what do you think?
I don't know what the wall is. I finally reached that conclusion. I've had discussions with it, and I thought, I don't have a clue, and neither does anybody else I talk to. Right. What is the plan?
Yeah, what is the plan? Is it some big concrete thing? Is it the wall of China? Is it a metal barrier? Is it drones? What is
where?
It? Yeah, where?
Well, even aside from that, even if it is a physical barrier, the eminent domain stuff, that they'd have to take over people's land and all that stuff to get it done, a lot of it, it's not even legal in Texas, as we've discussed in the past, to do that. So,
half it runs through national parks, plus you want to go down to the Rio Grande and we can't see it because the water's on our side, or the wall's on our side?
Right. It just...
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's... There needs to be solutions to this stuff that's going on down there. I mean, I think the solution somehow is in to get El Salvador being a real place. But how do you do that? It's been like that for, you know, how many hundred years? But you're not getting any closer by arguing about a wall. In the end of the day, it didn't help the Chinese, did it?
No, the Great Wall of China still exists, and there's people all over it. But no, I mean, even on top of that, we have more people coming across the border in Canada than we do in Mexico in general, or our southern border, I should say. And I still want to know, I still can't believe that you're going to have thousands of people coming up from El Salvador all at one politically motivated time period with buses and all sorts of funding. And who is funding this? You know? Who's paid for that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Nancy Pelosi. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
no, actually, George Soros. We know that.
Yeah, that makes more sense because it was not in Nancy Pelosi's best interest.
Well, from what Kevin was saying a couple weeks ago, he did a report on it. He said the people down there are very attuned to when they can get in the U.S. and when they can't, because obviously they'd love to.
I'm sure.
And to a certain extent, I was in a neighborhood this weekend delivering some charity furniture off to a mission on the west side of Chicago. And, we could put, there's blocks that are empty. It's not like we don't have any room. I mean,
it's not like we don't have any room, and it's not like we don't have people that need jobs. I mean, our employment rate is at its lowest ever, which means that there are a lot of people, or a lot of jobs out there that aren't currently filled. Because there's always a certain percentage of people that don't want the jobs that are out there, right? So our economy could grow. Look at Sweden. Sweden's economy is like growing like wildfire. They have revised their immigration policy. They're doing really well. They've just been skyrocketing.
Yeah, I don't really know what... but this is a campaign thing. And it continually, you know, he brings up the how many murderers and rapists and so forth are involved with these people coming up, and I find that really hard to listen to. I mean, if you were to take a percentage of how many of those people are murderers versus the rest of our society, I don't know if they're any higher. I bet they're lower.
They're really low.
Yeah.
They're actually really, really low. And the reason partly they're so low is all these people come in illegally. The moment they do something, they know they're deported back to a place that was obviously worse than where they are now, because they're living basically on the fringe of society here. So, and that can't be easy. So, I mean, the percentages are incredibly low of crime and issues.
Well, Frank, we still got you, but what are we doing? Do we sell this rally? Do we buy to sell off in gold. What are we doing? Gold seems pretty comfortable over 1,300 hours here. Of course, having said that, I'll probably be under 13 by the end of the week. But what do you make of what's going on here? I mean, I think whatever it is, you got to fade it. It's become a fader's market, as hard as that is to do.
Yeah, well, the chartists I know say one more push and then we're done. You know,
that's interesting.
The Elliott Wave Theory folk.
Okay.
But, yeah, I agree with you.
Now, what's the connection between, is there any between the Elliott Wave guys and the Fibonacci guys? Is there any? Because the Fibonacci, we're what? We're two-thirds of the way back most places, and isn't that supposed to, if you're a Fibonacci dude, isn't that like a tough point with everything for, I don't know what the reason is. Kevin Reardon used to tell us this, that everything regarding Fibonacci is two-thirds, that it's a number in nature that...
It is.
I don't know what... obviously, Steph knows more about this than me, and here I am talking, but basically, when you have a big sell-off or a big rally, you want to... The tendency is to retrace two-thirds, and then you decide which way you're going from there. Where are we about two-thirds of the way back here, Frank, in most areas?
Yes, but volatility's all the way back.
It's all the way down again.
On the S&P.
Yep.
It's back down to where it was.
Interesting.
So that's an argument going on right now. I think people are anticipating solutions to the China and the wall. And I think they're totally ignoring what's going on in Europe because this Brexit is looking uglier and uglier.
It sure is.
I'm gonna blame the I don't know who to blame there, but the I'm gonna blame the people in Brussels sensing that the people in Britain that are actually negotiating don't want to be out.
I actually don't think anyone really wants to be out, other than, I mean, yes, a certain percentage of the electorate does, but I think
like over 50%.
Not anymore.
Well,
and Ireland, Northern Ireland, yeah. Scotland have never wanted to be out.
Correct. Never.
You guys.
That's a good way to take the United out of United Kingdom.
We may have to kick this around next Monday because I am absolutely on the other side of this.
Yes, you are. I still, we've had this discussion. We'll have to have it again on Monday. Because
the idea that what if everybody voted here to do something in the Congress? Did nothing but drag their feet on it for like 2 years and tell you, oh, you guys made a mistake. You guys made a mistake. Maybe we should redo it. We wouldn't put up with that.
Well,
I hope we wouldn't.
I think you could look at Texas voting to secede from our country would be kind of maybe somewhat of an equivalent. If we were in Texas, what would your opinion be? Texas has a large economy, but their economy is primarily oil. What if they tried to secede? They might do well for a couple months, but if oil goes in the tanker, they're going to have a really hard time. It's very similar.
They'll be Venezuela.
Exactly.
What do you suppose would happen here? Again, we don't have much time today to argue this one because I have a sense it'll be a good one. What do you think would happen here is losers, as some of our people look at our elected officials. What if we said, hey, what about... What's with this? You took my teapot off the market. Not me. It's not me. It's a Brussels rule. Who the hell's Brussels? How do I go over there and bitch at those people?
I get your perspective that you don't want to be told what to do by some other group. I totally understand that. But I think if you look at the amount of hurt that the United Kingdom would take as a result of trying to separate what they have determined, what has become one of the largest financial markets in the world.
But why do they have to separate? Brussels is one who's trying to put the onus on them and trying to make it as painful as possible. Why do they need a border crossing in a Northern Isle other than Brussels' requirement? They don't need it.
No, they don't. Actually, it's not Brussels that's requiring it. It's Ireland that's requiring it. Ireland doesn't want to get out either. Ireland's trying to make it as difficult to get out as possible.
What they're saying is if you are out, because Northern Ireland's still in, you can't just have a free border.
Correct, and Ireland is the one that's also... You can't.
Right. Why can't Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland say, we're having a free border, screw you,
Brussels? They don't want it. Ireland doesn't want a free border either. That's the whole point.
Between North and South?
No, they don't. They don't want a border, open border. Yeah, well, I'll introduce you to a bunch of people that have been talking openly with the Irish about this topic.
I got my Irish people, too. My Irish people versus your Irish people.
Perfect. Let's set it up.
My Irish people are south side Irish people.
We'll have an Irish hoedown.
Speaking of Neanderthals.
Yeah. No. Exactly. We'll have to do this at one of the bars on Western Avenue. How's that? Frank, thank you very much, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
God, there's, let's go for a quick break while we reconvene here. SP Futures still up 975, Dow Futures up 97. Looks like a positive day, at least so far. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's john@PTIsecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, what back, Stocks and Jocks? I'm Tom Howell. She's Stephanie Koenig, fired up her Irish over there. He's Matt Weber. Steve Futures now up 11, Dow Futures up 107, as that Futures up 38. Let's just say, Steph, that some of the Irish people I know, when the, what's his name? Who's the golfer from Ireland, Matty?
Rory.
As my guy said, he's from the north. He's not really Irish. That's my group. Just saying. You know, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying. You know?
No, that does seem to be. You want to go into a whole bunch of different ethnic thoughts?
Yes, no,
we can definitely
just
go there.
We're just not going to ignore them. We're not going to be the rest of the world. At least we know they exist. You know, we're not going to split apart Iraq and say, God, you know, these guys don't get along with each other. Well, duh.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's. When are we going to reach a point? I love having Steph on because she has the huge market background, but now is in the regular world doing regular work. So she is aware of what's going on in other places, what regular people, when I say regular, don't stare at the TV all day long and watch the news for their clients like I do. She's aware of what other pieces of information other people get, both for their portfolios, to the extent that they manage them, and what they actually think about the world. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, Steph, that most people are pissed off at their tax return. I mean, people are just not set up. Even though everybody will say their politicians are nothing but lie to them, you're just not set up for the whoppers being this big. And if somebody says you're going to save on your taxes, you know, especially if you're a Republican, your whole party tells you that, you're going to believe them. And all of a sudden, you don't. You're like, what the hell, Ober? I mean,
well, that's the thing. I mean, there's been so much media attention about how... So there's two big phenomenons, I guess, in human psyche. One is everyone thinks that they're a part of the group that's just ahead of them, right? That's one thing that happens. So, and everyone also likes to take more risk. You know, when they hit a situation where there's a question about taking the risk or losing something, they will usually go and take the risk, right? It's just a phenomenon, right? So I'm sure there's great psychological terms. I don't know what they are. But if you look at this, everyone's been playing to this from a media perspective. You know, this is going to be great. This is going to be fabulous. Taxes are going to go down. And everyone thinks they're going to be part of that group that is going to be part of, you know, the in crowd, right? And then when it comes down to the numbers, it doesn't work that way. And I can't tell you how many people that I listened to all thought that they were going to be part of this, you know, 1% or whatever the exact percentage of, but the concept is the top 1%, you know, participating in this. And they're not. And if you look at the numbers, there's no way they should have thought they were, but people don't look at the numbers. They just think that they're a part of that group, and so they think they should get those benefits.
Well, they'd like to be part of the group. The one thing, right, that does reach down, and to be fair, two things in the tax law that really, well, I don't think they've is if you have a small business, either a subchapter S or an LLC, for some reason, your flow-through for the first, is it 300 or 330, Manny? I'm not sure. You're only taxed at like 20-some percent, not 35.
No, it depends on what kind of business. If you have a law firm, a medical profession, or a consultancy, then you are taxed at a different rate. You don't
really
get the 20%, yes. So, you know, most of...
Well, why would lawyers get an advantage?
Huh?
Why would lawyers get an advantage? Nobody even really likes them.
Well, apparently we don't like doctors either, and we don't like consultants.
Well, consultants, I can understand.
Yeah, I know. I'm one of them. So.
Oh. Well, you're a consultant. You're not an insultant. You're a consultant.
I actually can do both.
You know? So I didn't realize that there was a carve-out.
Yes.
So who's left? Like plumbers,
exactly,
and stuff?
Exactly. That's the whole point. Who's left? So, you know, a lot of your middle-income brackets, because if you think doctors make a ton of money anymore, they don't, with all of the insurance and everything else they do, plus the fact that they need to be part of huge partnerships and everything else these days. Doctors don't make huge amounts of money anymore. And attorneys, there are more attorneys out there than the economy can support. So attorneys don't make tons of money
anymore. What's the definition of these terms?
What do you mean?
Well, say, for instance, a guy on the show with you this morning has been known to do expert witness testimony.
That's an expert witness. He's not necessarily an attorney.
But is he a consultant?
Well, it depends. If he sets up his business as a consultancy, then yes, I would guess that he is a consultant on that term.
Most people, the lack of, I'm not going to insult people and say they're all dumb, they're not, but how many people do things on their own, I'll say have any kind of a, sole proprietorship of some kind or a little partnership, shall I use the term unofficial? Where's the advice coming from government that every one of those people should have their own personal corp?
Well, what are you talking about, a corp or an LLC?
They're actually sort of the same now.
They're not.
Well, but a subchapter S corp is getting the same tax treatment now as an LLC.
Yeah, but the liability is different.
The liability now is getting to the point where they don't really shield you from anything anyway. They do if you're big enough, but if you're small, I don't think it helps.
I think that they protect some of your assets. Anyway, that's down a path that we don't need to go. But
what I'm saying is, excuse me, because where I was going with this is if all of a sudden I become a plumber,
mm-hmm.
all right, and I run out and I fix your sink, and if I do that on my own, all my hospitalization and everything is not tax deductible. But if I become, Chief Inc., all right. of a sudden it's all deductible. Correct?
That's my understanding of it.
So, I mean, for how many people in this country do you think would benefit from having something? I'm not, in this day and age, especially in the securities business, which is insane. I mean, lawyers, I think, have always been like that. I mean, you can form a LLC for your attorneys, but if somebody sues the place, they're still going to name you. You're not going to. There's no real corporate veil there. Yet if something goes wrong with Merck and they kill 500,000 people, I'm not saying they ever did, and if you name the people up atop at Merck, they get off scot free. Correct?
Unless
individually there was a fraud there.
That has historically been how it has been. Yes.
But if you're in a small place. I mean, the FINRA and the NASD now doesn't care that you have.
I thought the whole point of a limited liability was for that very purpose.
But what I'm saying is that now in the securities business, they've decided to not even worry about that anymore. So if PTI ever got sued, say they'd name me, and it's not like if PTI lost that I wouldn't be liable.
Well, it depends a lot on. The attorneys that you hire and whether they can protect you or not, which.
But I mean, if Stephen ever did something untoward as a lawyer, good luck hiding behind the limited liability corp of the law firm.
Well, so I mean, I think there's a difference between untoward and being sued. You know, attorneys get sued, doctors get sued all the time. Some of it's untoward, some of it's not.
Well, but I'm saying we all know that you're never protected against. Outright fraud.
Correct.
But if you sue General Motors, you're not suing, what's her name, Mary Barra.
Well, I don't know. At this point, they're starting to. This is where actually legal reform or legal, it's not even reform because nothing's been reformed. It's just what people are doing, right? So the practice is starting to actually go after individuals within an organization. That's one of the major things that's been changing in law.
I think you're probably right.
Large corporations now, people are going in and trying to figure out exactly who is responsible, and
we're never going to see we've yet to see, and we have examples in my mind all over the friggin' place regarding the generic drugs and every place. Talk about every combination that results in a restraint of trade.
Yeah, but some of these companies have an interest in protecting their folks, right? So that's where this comes into play more than that. So if, for example, Merck has someone who's, I don't know, been selling Oxycontin or whatever, I don't even know if Merck makes it, I can't remember, but, and been a big pusher of this, and they are brought up in a lawsuit, Merck is going to either pay off that lawsuit so it doesn't go anywhere or work it into whatever other lawsuits they've got going on, because it's not in their best interest to have one individual go down for the ship.
But you're not going to... The fact that it's a lawsuit means it's not criminal, correct?
Well, yeah, if you're being sued, I mean, your suit is not criminal. You can't sue someone for a criminal act.
Well, what I'm saying is that the... The thing that's so bizarre about this, and it pretty much pisses me off, we're not going to solve it in the next 10 minutes, but the whole concept of whether you have a regulator or not, whether you're sued or whether it's considered, I'm saying a lot of what's happened...
Civil court and one is criminal court.
My point is that even the federal government now, if they think there's an antitrust thing, they will sue for that. You don't see them walking in and putting cuffs on people. As the Clayton Act, Sherman Act, basically tells you to do.
You mean for the antitrust?
Yeah,
stuff?
It's a felony.
Because I think they can't prove antitrust anymore, because most of the antitrust, or most of the organizations who look into antitrust at this point have been disbanded.
Well, but whatever it is, but I'm saying, to me, when you get two firms making some drug that, is a what do they call the outlier drugs, Manny, or the ones where maybe only a few thousand people have the disease or whatever.
Oh, some of the rare drugs.
Yeah, and all of a sudden there's two companies making it, and it's $20 a shot. Show my age. Nobody has shots anymore, do they?
So it's $300 a dose versus
no. All of a sudden, one guy buys the other one, and now it's $300.
Right.
Well, if ever there was a definition of a combination resulting in a restraint of trade, I mean, how do you even have to go to court with that one? You can do that on the sidewalk. I mean, you don't see any of those people getting arrested or anything like that. I mean, it's so damn obvious. You could take the generic drug area and probably have 15 criminal cases in my mind in 2 weeks if you wanted to.
So I don't know what criminal code you're looking into. Yes, I agree that it is criminal what they are doing. I'm not sure that it's actually they're breaking a law because, you know, if they're buying another company, they're allowed to. If they're told for antitrust reasons that they're not allowed to, which is where this should stop initially, you know, then that's a different situation.
The Sherman Act did not anticipate us having this huge organization that you, quote, asked permission. It was backward looking. If you did it, you were guilty.
And
it was first.
And I don't know the Sherman Act inside and out, but I do know that we, unfortunately, at this point, and you and I have gone into this multiple times about the monopolies that this, you know, that our
Steph is terrific to debate with, by the way.
You know, and so we neither you nor I believe that in our current system.
I can't say she ever admits when she loses one, though.
I do.
Back to the tax return thing. Joe writes in on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Stocks, the letter N, Jocks. What do tax refunds have to do with actual amounts of tax paid? I don't want a large refund. I don't want to be the government's bank. I want to pay less money.
All right, so here's what happens to a guy who listens, who is bright enough to listen to Stocks and Jocks.
Exactly.
He understands that one, why would you give your money to the government for free as a savings account?
Exactly.
But the part that he's missing is most people don't look at any of that stuff. And what happened is, from what I gather, the IRS, somehow or another, when they did the recalculations for withholdings, are that they didn't take out, or they took out a little more.
Took out a little less.
Well, let's say they took out the same amount as they did the year before, and people thought they got a tax decrease, because that's what they listened to. And so in other words, I'm making $1,000 a week. They're taking out two. All right. So if I got a tax decrease, it would make sense that when I send in my return, if last year I got $3,000 back, this year I should get $3,500. And what's happening is they're getting $2,500.
Yeah, I mean, but he's 100% right on the numbers. Yeah, you're not. You don't want them to be your bank, and frankly,
right. Well,
getting a
that.
Huge refund is not the goal of this. It's really about what you spend on taxes, right? But to Tom's point, exactly, most people don't pay that much, that close attention.
No, that's what they're saying. That's been the problem. Is people? It's not like people go through and calculate, and they tell their company what to take out. Their company takes out whatever the IRS tells them to take out. If you made X per week, then they take out whatever Y, right? I mean, there's tables for all this stuff.
Yep.
So what people just assumed that since they were taking out the same amount or maybe even a little bit more, that they would get a higher refund, and the fact is they're not, and that's what's causing everybody's calling their congressman saying, "What kind of deal is this? I mean, I'm supposed to be getting more back, and I'm not." It's not like they did, they did the math, right, Steph? I mean, it's not
right.
Like people went through the math. They just came out with it that way. Does that make sense, Maddie, or not?
Makes sense to me, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the shtick. But I'm trying to find the reason I'm banging along here is I'm trying to find the Sherman Act, but I will find it at some point. Because it was very simple. Imagine that, a very simple act. That's why nobody pays attention to it anymore. Where is it here? I'll find it. But it basically being any sort of combination that would result in here we go. Sherman Act outlaws every contract, combination, or conspiracy in restraint of trade. And any monopolization, attempt at monopolization, or conspiracy or combination to monopolize.
Which is fine, but what are the requirements to prove the Sherman Act? Because that's what my guess is that the requirements to prove the Sherman Act are pretty strict, which means that as an attorney, it's pretty hard to get all that information in order to prove it. So they're going at it other ways.
On the other hand, certain acts are considered so harmful to competition that they are almost always illegal. These include plain arrangements among competing individuals or businesses to fix prices, divide markets, or rig bids.
Right.
These acts are per se violation of the Sherman Act. No defense or justification is allowed.
But you have to prove that you're colluding. Let's use that word.
Right. The penalties for violating the Sherman Act can be severe. While most enforcement actions are civil, the Sherman Act is also criminal law. Individuals and businesses that violate may be prosecuted by the Department of Justice. Criminal prosecutors are typically limited to intentional clear violations, as when competitors fix high prices or rig bids. Imposes criminal penalties, $100 million for a corporation, $1 million an individual, along with 10 years in prison. Stuff. 10.
Yeah, but back to my point, what do you have to do to prove it? And I'm pretty sure you have to prove that the two colluded, like two organizations have colluded to price fix. That's what it sounds like mostly to me.
Seems to me that if there's two places making a generic drug and I buy the other place and quadruple the price.
That's not what the act said.
Attempted monopolization?
Monopolization is one thing. But that I agree with, but what do you have to do to actually prove it's attempted monopolization? Okay, so they.
Well, if that doesn't prove it, I don't know.
Other drugs in that company that you want to buy for other purposes.
That's not a combination to monopolize?
I'm just telling you how the law works.
All I know is if we.
You got to prove it. And just proving that one drug you're monopolizing on, obviously, for up in this day and age, is apparently not enough, or they would be prosecuting at least someone.
This is the wife of attorney stuff. I know for sure, Manny, that if we were driving through Timbuktu, Arkansas, and we drove up to a hot dog stand, and she had to pay $10 for a hot dog, and she said, "Why is it so expensive?" I said, "Because Joe just bought Jim's hot dog stand yesterday and tripled the price." You'd be outraged.
I didn't say I wasn't outraged about this to begin with.
Oh.
I'm totally outraged about it. I'm just saying, from a legal perspective.
She's outraged, Betty.
No, I mean, this is huge. Do you understand, I mean, how much this actually hurts our drug industry?
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know, one of my.
Or if you're on their side of it, helps them.
Right. One of my best friends, her sister works for one of these really small companies that makes drugs, you know, for 10,000 people in the world, right? And so, I mean, I happen to know quite a bit about this portion of the industry, or at least aspects of it. And, it's horrendous what we're doing. We're chasing a lot of these small drug companies out of business, and people are buying up these small drug companies in order to not produce these small drugs that are saving some people's lives. You know, because then they can get one particular drug and they get rid of all the rest of them. And that's, they're using that to increase their profitability. So there's a huge problem in this. Yes, I am outraged. I'm just saying that based on the Sherman Act and what you just read, I don't hear that some of the things you've mentioned are necessarily provable.
It depends. Again, everything is, that's why there's a prosecution defense for every case, right? I look at this thing. And from an economic point of view, this is clear as a bell.
Agree. 100% agree. But from, you know, whether you can prove it or not, and or whether the crime or potential crime actually meets the requirements to be charged is a whole other question.
I understand that if you, because I think what Steph is saying, and I'm not trying to be obtuse of her, what you're saying is if we bought Maddie Weber's drug company and all of a sudden we jumped the price of XYZ 400% the first day, there might be five other drugs in there that we don't do anything with.
Correct.
And we could, and the defense would be, well, this one was just, you know, this is a one-off. We really bought the place for the other four, and, you know, and what are you doing?
That's been the argument in the past.
But I also know that we've had a lot of arguments that if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it just might be a duck. From an economic standpoint, to me, there's no argument. From a legal standpoint, you're right. I would agree with you.
From an economic standpoint, you're 100% right. The more we consolidate, the less competition we have, the less variety we have. You know, the only place I think we really could consolidate is in the cereal aisle. There's just way too many cereals out there, if you ask me.
Whoa. There's way too many cereals,
yes.
But there's only three manufacturers.
Have you been down that aisle, though? I mean, it's a full aisle of, like...
Well, okay, but I mean, you had Post Raisin Bran, all right? Now there's Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Yeah. Now, there's Meyer's Raisin Bran, where they buy obviously one or the other. But there's no...
There's whole wheat Raisin Bran, and then there's like, you know...
Right, but they're all the same company.
Rice Raisin Bran. I didn't say... We're not, you know, I'm not just saying company. I was just saying, have you been down the cereal aisle? Okay, we could consolidate that a little bit.
All right, so my point, Steph, again, you know, that's why, you know, we got to fire up with people. Go down the beer aisle, for instance.
Uh-huh.
It may look to you that there's more brands of beer than there ever has been in a beer aisle. And you know what? You'd be correct, I'm going to say, Maddie, right?
Well, due to the microbreweries, probably.
Okay, so, but that's not where the monopolies are now.
I know.
The monopolies are in...
Anheuser-Busch.
No, the monopolies are in the distribution network. Because in the new stores, if you go into a Walmart or someplace like that, you don't just drop it at the back door anymore. You have to stack the aisle yourself.
They have been doing that for 20 years.
Okay, but my point being is that there's no way you and I can have a beer that we can sell to Walmart, 5 cases, and then all of a sudden it catches fire, and next week it's 10 cases, because they're not going to deal with it. So even though we may have our own brand of beer, we have to pay Anheuser-Busch to deliver it and put it on the shelf, which is just another way to be a monopoly.
Actually, you don't pay Anheuser, you pay a distribution. There's a whole distribution.
I understand that, but the guy who's making the Bud delivery is going to make our delivery as
correct.
Well.
Correct.
Which basically puts you, it's just a different way to monopolize. There might be 500 different kinds of beer, but there's only one truck.
Of course. The Mormons own a lot of the
But it's all back, it's like going back to there's only one railroad. There's a million farms, but there's only one railroad. SB Futures up 10:50. We'll come back with Mr. David Adelman. I don't have to see who won that one, Manny. We have to have the judge. We have to have a vote. I think probably Steph maybe did, but we'll be back. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, my bank starts Jacks. I'm Tom Ashley's Stephanie Koenig. We're arguing even on the break, man, as you can probably figure out. SP futures are up 10. Dodge futures up 106. NASDAQ futures up 33. Let me get to my page here. That isn't the Sherman Act all over it. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 94.9%. FTSE 11,001. There are only 11,000 in the DAX here. FTSE up 41 points to 71.12, the whole number. CAC around up 42. That's 0.8%. Over in Asia, I think it's a mixed bag because these guys have all been closed various sundry days here. Nikkei down 418, 20,333 is 2%. Shanghai was closed all last week. It's up 1.4%, 35 points, 2653. We'll give that whole number. Hang Seng, which was closed like a couple of days last week, was up 197, 28,143. Oil down 47 cents. Brent down 19. That spread is now, I'm going to say $9.70. Wow. It's popped right back out of your natural gas. Back down to kind of where it started before the winter. 269, we had that shot to 450. We had a cold November. Now evidently things, winter's winding down here. I don't know. It's still pretty chilly out. It's back down where it was. RBOB 144. We noticed their gas is probably up 5-6 cents in the last couple weeks. You can see that here in the RBOB. Home heating oil 191. Gold taken on the chin a little bit today, down $8. 1310, still over 1300. Silver 1571, cannot crack that $16 level. Time it gets near, it's like whack-a-mole. Whack, right back down. Matty, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Winter's not winding down yet, Chief. We'll get to that in a minute. But we have a couple of accidents already this morning. Jane Addams Tollway, that's I-90 on the inbound side at Higgins Road, right in Rosemont near the airport there. There's a crash that's been blocking the right shoulder. So keep that in mind. That's on the inbound side of the Jane Addams. Kennedy traffic is building steadily. We're about 55 minutes from O'Hare into downtown. No issues on the Edens. Eisenhower, high traffic volumes, but no accidents to report. Earlier crash on the Stevenson is all clear. That was right at Lamont Road earlier this morning. That crash is clear, but Stevenson, high traffic volumes as well. We have a significant crash on the Tri-State northbound just before Plainfield Road, blocking the two right lanes. Crews are on the scene working to get that cleared, but that's affecting the northbound 294 Tri-State. And then on the south side, I-94 westbound at Cottage Grove Avenue, there's an accident reported. And then just north of there on the city street, State and 70th, there is a crash as well. Everything else looking okay out there, but the weather is going to take a turn for the worse. Right now it's overcast and relatively mild. It's 30 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 34. But beginning at 6 p.m. this evening, we will go into a winter weather advisory where we're going to expect some snow accumulation, some freezing rain, and that's going to last all night. And it's going to be worse to the south and south suburbs. So keep that in mind that we could get some snow accumulation and some slippery conditions for the evening commute. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 60. Right now it's mostly clear and 48. In sports, Blackhawks keep rolling. They've won 7 straight as they beat the Red Wings 5-2 at the UC yesterday. Patrick Kane extended his points streak to 14 straight games, longest active streak in the NHL. The Coyotes were off, Bulls were off, Suns lost to the Kings 117-104. College hoops, it was Loyola over Valparaiso 56-51, Notre Dame over Georgia Tech 69-59, and Northwestern blew a 15-point lead in the last 4 minutes and lost on a buzzer beater at Iowa 80-79. Chief.
Do you think it would be prudent or legal, or since Steph is arguing with people what's legal and what isn't, to call the Hawk doctor and find out what these guys are on and get some for our softball team?
Hawk doctor? Get it? What?
The Blackhawk doctor.
I think he's insinuating that the Blackhawks are doing steroids now. And that's
no. I mean, they could be just...
and that's why they're winning?
No, I'm just saying they could be on a grapefruit diet or whatever it is. I want it.
I agree.
Grapefruit diet.
Yeah. I'd rather it be legal, to be honest with you. I mean, David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. If you want to talk about, you know, Sosa-isms, I want to know about Phil Mickelson.
Oh.
He's going to be 49 in the middle of June, and a couple weeks ago, after not playing for like 3 months, his opening round was 60. He missed an 8-footer, or he would have had a 59. He outdrove the entire field by like 17 yards. He ended up finishing second in that tournament, and now at Pebble Beach, he's 3 strokes ahead with 3 holes to go. It was a hailstorm that delayed the finish. But what has gotten into him?
Literally.
Yeah. Literally, or into his driver. And he was first in that tournament a couple weeks ago in fairways hit, and he's always been in the 60s or 70s, you know, in rank for a year as far as fairways hit. Never been the most accurate.
Maybe he's taking that...
Newfound youth.
Maybe he's taking that hot room yoga stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. He's definitely doing hot yoga.
Maybe I should
try something.
Maybe I should try that. Maybe I get the ball out of the infield. I'm tired of doing these 4 hoppers to short, Manny. It's not so good.
You and me both.
Yeah.
And your 250-yard golf drives would become 300.
My 285-yard golf drives have become 240. I'm like, what am I doing here? I thought I hit this one pretty good. Yeah, it has to do with rotation, I think, or lack thereof. These guys, you know, but they are pretty special. Usually what happens to these, I don't say usually, but if you see Freddie Couples, I mean, who's had back problems, and I was on the board of the SIBO. He was best buddies with one of the guys on the board with me. I won't say the name out there, but when I used to come here for the Western, he'd stay at this guy's house. They were roommates in college, you know. And he said Freddie had back problems in 1995 that were career-threatening.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, that's 20-some years ago, and still on a 2 or 3 day tournament. I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with.
No question.
I mean, now, 4 days in a row, if the weather's crummy at the Masters or something, he'll fade. But still, he's, you know, it's not like these guys can't play. I mean, as long as they stay away from a major injury.
I know, but such a sudden turn.
Yep, well, I was at the...
And I'm not casting dispersions because I've never met the man. I don't know the man. But, you know, he's had some insider trading issues and whatever.
I'm going to say that the science is pretty good. what do we need, Matty? We need some of that human growth hormone, I think.
A little HGH?
Yeah, a little HGH. But I can tell the story in here. It's been so long ago. I was at one of the – we were on the score. How long ago was this, Matty? When we were at the Skybox, and there's Steve Stone is in the Skybox. And we started talking. Well, he had the other – he was talking to a couple other guys forever. Finally, he's, you know, we start BSing a little bit. I was asking him about this one game that he was, it was this very odd game when I was young. Well, he was pitching because I was, you know, it was a long time ago. And I said, Steve, it was kind of this really wacky game where you gave up like 7 walks and yet you hadn't give up a hit in the 7th inning. You had like a no hitter going. He goes, I remember that game. I go, how do you remember that? All the games you were playing. He goes, I had my shoulder was killing me. I took this painkiller, and then I tried something else. He goes, the combination of the three, because I couldn't see the signs.
Oh, jeez.
And he goes, I'm just winging it up there. So the catcher comes out, and he says, he had the name of the catcher. I forgot the name of the catcher. He goes, the guy couldn't hit a lick. He said, but he was probably the best receiver he had ever seen. And the guy says, because I can't see the sign. The catcher goes, just throw whatever you want. I'll catch it. He says, which virtually nobody can do. He said, but this guy was good enough. He said, finally in the 7th inning, they took me out. They don't know what was wrong with me. He goes, the thing was liable to go anywhere. So the players, I was wild enough to where nobody could hit it, but by the same token, I couldn't find a plate. But then we started talking about, this was right after the, you know, sort of the steroid thing was huge. And one of the guys, the Yankees, had just traded for some guy from the Seattle. And who was the big first baseman, Manny, that always was Giambi?
Yeah, he was big. Yeah. He was Oakland, big on the stuff, too.
Yeah, well, he's big on steroids.
Yeah, and evidently he had shrunk down somewhat. And so Steve says, well, this guy, they got this guy from Seattle, and there's some doctor out there. This is back in a ways. I'm sure you could find this now if you did a test, but they started making the HGH out of your own insulin.
Yeah.
So they take a hunk of blood, and so it was virtually impossible to detect because it was your own HGH. They made it out of your own stuff. So it wasn't like you took a shot at somebody else's. So he goes, the guy couldn't hit a lick in spring training, and now he's having a huge year. And who knows? I mean, there's stuff around. I'm just saying I could use some for softball. I mean, I need it bad. What do you think, Matty? I mean, if I could put another 20 yards on my drive like I could, or my hit like I could 20 years ago, it'd be a lot easier to get the first base.
I'll give you more time.
All I got to say is, you know, if you get something in one area, you lose something in another area. So what are you willing to give up? That's all I got to say.
That's a good
with
point.
To this.
It's like the silly putty.
What makes you think I'm going to lose? What are you're like mom. If you do that, you only lived 87 and not 90, for God's sake.
No, that's not what I was referring to. I was referring to other malfunctions. But, you know, hey, whatever.
I'm not so sure the HGH does that. Steroids, yes. I'm not so sure
HGH just your own version of that?
Yeah, your own human growth hormone, which drops like a stone when you get older.
I still would guess that it has some impact.
She's saying it wouldn't be the only thing that dropped like a stone?
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Well,
I'm wondering.
Or like a noodle.
Yeah.
Well, the old, I don't think that, let's put it this way, having never been on this stuff, but you don't see A-Rod with the huge thick neck and the zits like the other guys that were using Diana Ball and other stuff back in the, you know.
Right. The benefit of 10 years later, it made a big difference.
Well, but I mean, I don't think he ever had those. It's a whole different...
I know, I'm saying, but like Sosa, McGuire, those guys, that was the mid-90s.
Yeah.
A-Rod, it was 10 or 15 years later. The drugs had matured.
Well, you know,
Lance Armstrong did a lot for that, right?
But if you did... If Dr. J is dead, I mean, he's still with us, thank God, who was a huge transplant surgeon. Not just he was a big guy. He was a very renowned liver transplant surgeon. He's the first guy to do liver transplants on little kids.
Hmm.
Which is interesting because the guy had the biggest hands I've ever seen. He's this huge guy. But anyway, the nicest guy I've ever met. But he if you have a transplant, you're on steroids the rest of your life. You don't die from them. You don't. I mean, there's a difference between.
I didn't say you died from them. I just said you might not perform well.
Well, the guys in Oakland all died. Tuz and El Zato and all those guys. I mean, what did they all die, Matty, in their 40s?
Well, it does. I mean. Recognize that steroids just do a lot of enhancing, and so they put a lot more strain on your heart, your blood vessels, on all of that sorts of stuff, which is usually what they die from. They don't die from the steroids.
Right. Well, plus, those guys were, let's say, injecting them in places you don't want to be injected, because they were doing monkey hormones and everything else. Ugh. Anyway, it was a different time, but you tell some male at age... this is what I was... You know, we're going off topic here. We'll talk about the market in a second, but this is what people. It's weird to say that you know these guys. They're going to give up something else. Okay, males and now females forever have been doing risky stuff to make more money. I mean, this is not new. I mean, they put up Hoover Dam. The guys who were the rock climbers, the ones that if somebody did die, it was probably one of those guys, made more money than the guys who worked the concrete factory. Duh. I mean, people who worked on a trading floor knew there was a higher stress environment, probably would take years off your life, versus being the oil salesman at Sears. I mean,
I recognize
it's
that.
It's not like people haven't figured this out. If you tell some 18-year-old kid or 20-year-old kid at Iowa or Purdue who's a lineman and said, if you take these steroids for 5 years, you're going to make a bazillion dollars in the NFL, but oh, by the way, you might only live to 85 instead of 90, name me a 19-year-old kid that says, I won't take that deal.
Come on, I was talking to you gentlemen here about your, about performance in general.
Ah, okay.
Which is something different. Come on.
Oh, God.
You know, now you're taking this a whole different level. Well, I was going in the dirt, in the weeds, and you were going very philosophical.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm just more of a soul philosophical kind of guy. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah.
We're fighting over who were really Irish people earlier, if you heard. Anywho.
I did.
So, David, what's going on with this market? I ask you every week. How many more times can we go up and down based on China meetings? And you say we must be getting to the end of it. When there's another week, I ask you the same thing. We're doing it again.
You know, I'm starting to feel, honestly, like there was a piece this morning that I heard that was very interesting, and it was a trade guy. I don't know if he was lower level current or higher level past, but he really seemed to have good knowledge, and I tend to turn my ears away from, you know, talking heads. But this guy had a big idea, and he didn't identify himself as Republican or Democrat, which, you know, I liked. And he basically said both sides are really hankering for a deal, whatever they can get out, both for political purposes, to their base, to, you know, hushing the troops and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So they'll put out something. And so it's low-level meetings today and tomorrow, and then Mnuchin and Lighthizer, you know, later in the week. And they're going to hammer out some kind of, agreement of understanding, and then somehow, some way, they'll put together a meeting between Xi and Trump, because that's the only way they'll get it done. And this guy basically said, look, you know, it may end up being bearish. He said, well, initial pop, which has been my idea, it may become a sell event, because the hawks in the White House are pushing for verification and inspection, and if they violate, which you know they're going to, whether it's intellectual property or, you know, forced partnership or whatever the terms you want to use, that they'll slap them right back on. And so, you know, and the market will recognize the flimsiness of the deal, and a good part of it's already priced in. And so, not again, like, you know, I said, I'm not going to sit here and say, because you made the comment that I wouldn't want to be short if a deal's hammered out over the weekend, because it'll pop on Monday. I'm certain that's probably going to, I'm not certain, but I would guess it's probably going to happen. But, you know, so the S&P opens 15-20 handles higher. I'm starting to believe that, you know, it's the buy the rumor, sell the fact, and once a deal comes out, a skeleton of a deal, that's probably a good rally to sell.
If we pulled the I'm going to say the three, they're not crap, because they're all very important things. However, the three things of crap off the market. Mueller comes out and says, in my opinion, he's going to come out and say Trump exhibited the worst judgment of people around him in the history of the world, but the guy's not a criminal. Something along those lines, which I think that's where he's going to come out, but I don't know. I mean, my lips to somebody's ear.
Yeah, or they'll indict five people surrounding him and say, but it really didn't implicate the president.
Right, and so they do that, and all of a sudden we hammer out some kind of a deal on China. I don't see them ever. They've pushed this intellectual property thing out there so far. China's never going to admit to doing anything different going forward, because that's an admission they did something wrong in the past, and they haven't gone there. They refuse to go there.
Right.
Let's say 2 weeks they come up with some language that everybody's comfortable with, and a wall, which is not a wall, which is a wall. They give the guy 50 miles or 100 miles, which he really cares about, $3 million, and now all of a sudden,
billion bucks.
Yeah, $1 billion. And all of a sudden, all this is, you know, we're talking about March 8th or 10th or whatever the hell it is in February, and this is all gone. Now, having said all that,
but Trump's going to start something else. Well, I hear you.
But I'm saying, the market does up and down or whatever it is. All that's gone. Is the market too high or too low?
Too high.
I think it might be too.
But not by a big time magnitude. Because, you know, they're always talking about, you know, zero growth in earnings and a 17 multiple. Well, it's zero growth, but if you put in the growth of the last 2 years, it's huge. We still have to price even a 0 or a 1 or 2%, you know, gain and give it a multiple. And I believe I'm accurate. The last 8-10 years, the average multiple is 16.3. So we still have relatively low inflation, or at least that's what they tell us. You know, we don't believe it, but that's the numbers the market has to go on. And relatively low interest rates and a fairly accommodative Fed. And so we're probably a little high at 17, but, you know, what's 16.3? You're not talking about a big sell-off. So that's what I think. I think we'll clear out a good part of this you know, political and other trade issues and, you know, stuff with the shutdown and the wall and all that stuff, and Mueller will probably shut that out, gain 2 or 3% maybe, and then give back 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, right now, I'm more concerned about, and I shouldn't be, because, well, I got people protected, but I'm more concerned about being short call someplace and having the thing open up and my calls are in the money.
I mean, it's hard to gauge, what kind of effect, you know, all those three things that you mentioned, if they clear out of the way, what that would do. I don't think there's that much left to the upside. I really don't, even in the best of worlds.
Yeah,
I mean, could it be, you know, one huge opening, S&P 40 higher? I doubt it, but it could happen if there's a bunch of shorts.
My concern, as it always is, which is, you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, especially since we've been arguing about all kinds of stuff all morning, but the young people, I started a show talking about the young people that are running for office, I don't think they have a clue the depths of the hole they're getting themselves into. And, you know, I mean, which doesn't mean that you don't want fresh eyes and an enthusiasm in there instead of just saying it's so bad we can't fix it. Which I, by the way, I don't know that that's what I believe either, but I think this thing with China and us came at absolutely the wrong time, David, because I think China was slowing down anyway. They got money problems, they got massive debt problems, especially if you take into account the money overseas and that they've borrowed in both dollars and euros, because their currency is going down, which means that the people paying it back are really struggling to the point where a lot of it are becoming non-performing or starting to become non-performing. And I think the debt load here, we see it. Chicagoans for the first time are probably smarter if you thought about it than the people in the rest of the country, because what we're seeing in the city here is the city being broke, and all of a sudden they're coming down on people virtually every month, a new fee, a new this, a new something. And on the federal level, despite what these, I won't say idiots, say to us, the fact that they are running a $1 trillion deficit and talking about infrastructure on top of that, I don't see, we're reaching the limit of this. I mean, it might be 5 years, it might be 10, but someplace, somewhere, the next move in taxation on the federal level is going to be higher, not lower.
No question.
I mean, it can't be lower unless all of a sudden somebody invents, it would take something like, you know what would do it, honestly? I think if somebody would automate, would be able to retrofit everybody's car and have, and I'm not talking about delivering packages downtown. I think that's a goose chase. But if you could get on an interstate highway and all of a sudden just take your hands off the wheel and be 10 feet from the car ahead of you, all of a sudden we don't need to spend all this money to widen these interstates, right? We got plenty of room. If the average, I mean, nobody's even thinking of that.
How about the discount, the taxes on cannabis once it's all legalized?
Well,
and sports betting in every state.
Right, here's where I'm going to go with that, David. You can how a horse with whatever. It's not a horse of a different color. It's still a tax. People are taxed to the nth degree right now. So if you come up with something different, the same person that's taxed right now to Nowheresville is not going to be able to afford marijuana and paying taxes on that. He's broke. I mean, we've reached the point where there is no new spot, in my opinion.
I'll agree with you to an extent, certainly in sports betting. But if at least the preliminary research and at least the marijuana for health benefits, I mean, you could see an offset in lower use of health care.
That's an interesting.
You're so high you don't know you're sick?
No, yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, pain relief. You're exactly right.
It is good for pain relief.
But it's a game, David. In Colorado, you have recreational marijuana in a town where nobody ever comes and nobody ever leaves. You're just taking money from people for something else. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. Now,
but all I'm saying is you're right, but there can be in that particular arena an offset.
Okay, but I'm saying that I don't want to be a saloon keeper in that town.
Absolutely, and that's why all the beer companies' stocks are suffering huge.
Yeah, now I would love to be one of the guys in Steamboat, because there's two recreational facilities in Steamboat. Don't ask me how I know this. And guess
what? You've been visiting my son.
No, but I mean, I know the attorney out there who put them together for the guys. Okay, so they have the benefit of 10,000 people showing up every week to ski and going home with marijuana and driving home with it. I mean, that's a whole different product. So all this stuff is trying to get money out of other people. I mean, I see video poker. Audrey and I will go to a restaurant in the Burbs, the Southwest Burbs, and I see four waitresses coming off work and sitting down and losing $50. To me, that's progress? No, it's not. I mean, it's not the same as going to Vegas 20 years from now or go with your $2,000 in your pocket that you could afford, and if you lost it, you lost it. You got on a plane, you got the hell out of there, and Vegas didn't have to deal with you. It's not the same as people blowing half their paycheck every week like they, you know, like they do, and some of these people know. I mean, you just got another problem. SP Futures up 10. Thank you, everybody. It was a good show. It was fun. Fighting with Steph. We'll have to get a vote as to who won. I think maybe she did. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early. I
got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.